slideshow to go with our talk. Plan is roughly 30, 35 minutes. Then Pastor asked maybe a bit of Q&A at the end. So if you have any thoughts or questions, feel free to, at the end, run with those. But we discussed what we might talk about, and I suggested this issue could be a good one. You should already be aware, if you're any sort of Christian who's up about what's happening in our culture, you should be aware that there seems to have been a war declared on our faith. There's a lot of hostility to what we believe, to our values, the things that we care deeply about. And not wanting to pick on any one group, there's plenty of fronts that this battle is taking place, but certainly the whole kind of homosexual and now the transgender side of things, as we'll see in the talk, a lot of examples of that. So one of the two books I have in the back there is on homosexuality, so if you want to learn more, certainly the website, you can get all kinds of good stuff there, but a few books as well. And if I can, I just want to maybe piggyback for one moment, a slight deviation, but I think it fits. We did have a great testimony already. Was it Esther? Is that the fantastic stuff? Thank you very much indeed. And we had a lot of good books recommended already. I'm a book guy. And I can vouch for all the books mentioned, but that one gentle and lowly book, I think we need to highlight that one more time. Jesus most certainly is, as we know, a King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's, as we read in Revelation, coming again, you know, on a horse with a sword, executing judgment on the unrepentant. So that's certainly our Lord, but it's not all of our Lord. We have to have the whole counsel of God. We also know that he really comes down to our level. He, in fact, Scripture says God is near to the humble, the brokenhearted. You know, those who are struggling, those who are going through hard times. So that is our God as well. And that's a really great book that really highlights this whole idea. You know, when Jesus is near to those who are struggling and brokenhearted, that's the God we serve. So yeah, a lot of us go through hard times. A lot of us are struggling, suffering. But we have a God who's very near to those who suffer. So yeah, that's a great book. So I'd recommend that one as well. Make sure you don't buy too many books. You have enough money to get my book as well. But and of course, I always say, we're getting very close to Christmas now, so, you know, it's a good, buy two copies of each, you get one for a friend. Anyway, we need to look at this war, so I'm going to be saying next a lot, and there's a professional slide changer in the back who knows exactly what that word means, so we'll say next, there we go. Plenty of passages, we've already read one, but, you know, the Gospels certainly are full of this idea of, well, it's going to get pretty hardcore out there. If you're serious about your faith, if you're keen on representing Christ in the world, we've got promises. I mean, a lot of Christians talk about, oh, I claim every promise of God, but we've got a lot of these kind of perhaps a bit more negative promises. We may not be as keen on claiming, but we have to. The world has hated Christ. It will hate us as well. It's persecuted Christ and his followers. We too can expect the same. Next, John 16, which we've already seen. The real point here, when they kill you, they actually think they will be doing God a favor. I've been writing a lot about this on my website. Well, for example, a number of pastors who've dared to keep their churches open during the whole COVID thing. One Canadian pastor you might have seen arrested by the police for daring to have a church service. You could see him handcuffs being dragged away by the police. I support these kind of pastors. I think there is a time where we have to say no to the state and yes to God. But I'm also aware that there's a lot of other Christians who are actually criticizing pastors like this. They're so into kind of the fear And they're so into, well, the state is here to keep me safe and to protect me, that they really side with a secular state against pastors like this. So I think I can kind of see where Jesus is going with this today. In fact, I'll get Christian critics often. Oh, Bill, you're too radical. You're a troublemaker. Why don't you just stay quiet? And, you know, so we've been warned a long time ago. Next, Timothy again, same with Paul. Another promise we have to claim, everyone who will live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So we have to expect that. Next. So there's a war going on, certainly all over the West, in Australia, America, Europe, England. I document this all the time on my website. There'd be hundreds of articles simply looking at recent examples of this war against Christianity. And again, make it practical. It's not Christianity in general. It's, well, you and me, Christians, real Christians, people who love the Lord. They are targeting you and me. So we're going to look at some of those examples here briefly. You should be convinced already, but if not, in about 20 minutes' time, you'll have no excuse not to be fully convinced that war has been declared. Next. So the way I like to encapsulate this whole thing is we've really moved in a short period of time. Starting back with the early church, you know, pagan, the disciples shared the gospel all over the place. Soon much of the world was Christianized, but now the West certainly has started to become post-Christian, and now I think we can say it's actually become anti-Christian. You know, it's not just that we've moved beyond Christianity, we've actually become quite hostile to Christianity. So we've really kind of gone back to what happened 2,000 years ago. We're in a new paganism. There's a whole new sense that we have to do it all over again. We have to re-evangelize the West. We're no longer a Christian country and a Christian culture. We are the new minority, right? Christians used to be the majority not long ago. Today we are on the fringes of society. And they're pushing us further and further out. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of a way of looking at the West. Next. So there's a war going on. We could talk about the War of the Worlds. You might have heard of a book or a film by that title. But really, it's more of a world of world views. There's a whole different way of looking at the world. Next. If you like the film version of things, write the old H.G. Wells book, War of the Worlds, I think recently done with Tom Hanks. You might have seen that. Enemies from, what, Mars or somewhere out of space come to Earth, start a big attack trying to destroy planet Earth. So the war I'm talking about here is a little bit different. It's not so much coming from without, although I suppose you can say Satan is... Satan hates God, and so Satan hates God's people. So in that sense, there's this enemy attack from without, but Satan has plenty of his own foot soldiers here on earth, right? There's plenty of people who are happy to do his bidding and are happy to war against God's people. Next. So in a sense, we could talk about two heavyweight contenders battling it out, and of course, the real trophy, the real goal is capturing the culture, capturing our children, right? Whoever can win and get our kids is going to win the future. So what we could call the secular humanists, they're fighting big time to get our kids, to get our culture. And then there's our Judeo-Christian worldview. Dale mentioned Melanie Phillips in the bulletin, Jewish commentator in England. I know her, and she's doing her bit, the fight to good fight. There's a number standing strong, but it really is the Judeo-Christian worldview against what we could call the secular humanist. Next. So really, every day we see new examples of this. In fact, my talk, which I gave to Dale, one or two days ago, is already out of date. Sorry, I was going to give you the new version. As I say, I try to do a new article every day. Yesterday, just before I was served dinner, I managed to get a new article up. And so this is not on the slideshow, but it should shock you like everything else you'll see today. In England right now, some people have been coming out and talking about prayer is hateful. Prayer is hateful. Did you know that? I mean, we've already been told that the Bible is a book full of hate speech. So now they're saying prayer is hateful. In this context, if a homosexual comes to a Christian, to one of you, and says, I'm struggling with my same-sex attraction, I'd like a bit of counsel, a bit of help, maybe a bit of prayer. Well, the activists are saying this is hateful. To simply pray for somebody who wants prayer about his sexual condition, this is a type of hate, and it should be made illegal. So in England, they're trying to ban prayer. Well, of course, here in Australia, it's already happened. If you come from Victoria, as I do, you might know of the so-called conversion therapy bill, which we may have a slide on later, which is the same thing. Somebody struggling with their unwanted attractions, they come to you for help. It is now a law in Victoria that if you do that, you can go to jail for 10 years. To simply counsel somebody, to pray for somebody who asks for help, right? You're not forcing yourself on a stranger. Somebody comes to you or your church or your counselor, says, can I get a bit of help? Can I get a bit of prayer? Right now, that is illegal in Victoria under Dan Andrews and Labor. And you can get 10 years in jail. So Dale did well to get me in now. I'm quite serious. I question how long before I'll be in jail. I mean, we are heading that direction real fast. So I'm glad I'm free now to be with you, but the way things are going, it may not last long. So next, the battle is ultimately, of course, spiritual, as Paul would tell us, but that spiritual battle manifests itself, right, on political, social, cultural levels. So we have to do the spiritual warfare against the enemy, certainly, but we have to contend on the various levels, political, social. Now, here's something that I'm going to throw in just as an extra. Jesus at one point told his disciples, if you give a glass of water in my name, it's like you're doing it for me. And that's a hint to say, if I could get a little, I'm getting just a bit of a cough here, so a little bottle of water will be great to tide me over. And you'll be doing it as unto Jesus, so it's a double reward here. Anyway, so the spiritual battle, but we have to be aware of the way it manifests. Next. So, again, plenty of levels, political, social, cultural, moral, legal, economic, educational, right, all these fronts. So part of the fight back, part of the way we might get involved is, well, God may call you to become a teacher, to become a politician. Thank you very much. Your reward is great in heaven as well. In fact, after a talk like this, often I'll get questions, so what do we do? Bill, what do we do? Well, part of it is seeing the long term, the big picture, right? We need to reclaim the culture. We need to get back in. The other side has done a great job taking over politics, taking over the media, taking over the arts, entertainment, you name it. So if the Lord should tarry, we've got a work to do. We've got a job to do. So that may mean some of you thinking, well, I need to get into medicine, I need to get into law, journalism. So that's part of the challenge we face. Next, Francis Schaeffer, who I quite like, I enjoy this quote of his. He said, the enemy never allows us the luxury of fighting on only one front, right? There's always a number of battles going on. So one day it could be the war against prayer, the next day it's the war against marriage or the war against life, abortion, euthanasia. Could be the war against truth, could be the challenge of Islam. There's always plenty of areas. So I deal with all those, certainly on my website. But things that we need to be aware of as well. Next. So let's look at this area of faith and freedom coming under attack and how sadly the church is often kind of sleeping through it all. Next. So again, we're not picking on just one group or area, but certainly this has been a major, in fact, I've ended up writing 2.5 books on homosexuality over the years. One was a debate book with a homosexual. There's probably many hundreds of articles on homosexuality in my website as well. So this is one of the big, one of the big focal points that we have to be aware of. Next. So we have to be aware that there's many, well, actively pursuing their agenda and they're targeting us. For example, some are quite open and honest. I'm gay and I teach America's children. They're on a mission. They're evangelistic, right? They know if they can target the children and get the kids, guess what? They've won the culture. So they're smart. They're thinking, what can we do? How can we have an impact? How can we be salt and light, in a sense, to do evil? So again, they're targeting the schools. They're targeting all the other areas. And we have kind of, you know, we've tended to sit things out. We've tended to privatize our faith. Oh, well, I'll go to church on Sunday. I pray during the week. As if that's all there is to it. That's a good start, but we need to be just as involved, just as active as guys like this. They know it's a full-time job. They know it's a war. They have to keep going until they win. Well, we need to keep going until we win as well. Next. So, every day, pretty much, as I said, just yesterday, wrote a new piece. So, we'll begin with overseas, look at a few cases from overseas, then bring it home. Next, I could do this all day, by the way. I've got hundreds of these, so I had to really narrow things down. Here's one gal in America, has a website, calls herself Activist Mommy. Simply for quoting from the Bible, she was banned from one of the social media giants, Facebook. By the way, I always tell people you should make use of the social media, things like Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and YouTube and all the, you know, all these things, they can be used just to put pictures of your cat or your coffee that you had this morning. But you can use it for the kingdom. You can use these things to share truth. So this gal simply quoted a Bible verse, and for doing that, was kicked off of Facebook. By the way, I've been kicked off of Facebook often. They will put you in Facebook jail if they don't like you. So I've had, you know, 30-day stints in Facebook prison. And for doing basically the same, quoting the Bible, sharing truth, saying really horrific things like children deserve a mother and a father. Marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, simply to say stuff like that, you'll get into trouble. So next. Plenty of these situations. Here's a Catholic hospital sued by a transgender guy for not performing a sex change operation. This is the new focal point. The homosexuals have been doing this for ages, but now, just in the last 5-10 years, the whole trans agenda, you know, you can't even, you'll get in trouble if you don't call somebody by the wrong pronoun, you know, if he doesn't want to be a he or a she or an it. You know, you can't even talk about moms and dads anymore, right? You talk about birthing persons. They're getting rid of the word mother and father on passports, birth certificates. I mean, this is even in Australia. So it's really getting to be, it's crazy, I think. It's madness. But more and more people are being sued. People are losing their jobs. People are being fired, sometimes even thrown in jail, for just standing up for reality, for biology. You know, there's actually only two genders. There's two sexes, not 500, as some of these guys are saying. But simply to affirm biological truth, you can get into trouble. Next, here's a church sued $2.3 million for not hosting a gay event. This is in Oregon in America. So a few more of these slides and you'll be getting a message. Wow, they're attacking churches. They're specifically picking on Christians, Christian institutions, and so on. So it really is a war against Christianity. Next, here was an army chaplain who was accused of dereliction of duty for simply not leading a retreat with gay marriage. So he was facing court-martial in America for simply saying no to this agenda. Next, lesbian couple, again, suing Christian retirement community, this time in St. Louis. Everywhere you turn, the activists are targeting Christian groups. Very deliberate, very specific. Next. Christian student, University of California, Berkeley, just about kicked off campus. She simply said she would abstain on a vote about transgenderism. So you can't even be a Joe average student in most universities if you're not actively pushing the radical agenda. Next. South Africa rule. Christian church is being discriminatory by not having, again, homosexual marriage. This has been a big thing all around the West. We warned for years, if you go down the path of homosexual marriage, everything will change. It's going to be bad news, and that's exactly what's been happening. They said nothing will change. You're being a scaremonger. Everything changes. Once we legalize, give special rights to homosexuals, then the whole kit and caboodle keeps going, slippery slope. So now everywhere Christians are being sued. Next, here's a school assistant, lost a job. Why? Simply had signed a petition in her own private time away from school on homosexuality. She's looking for a new job. And this is in the UK. Next. Canadian couple used to have a lot of kids. They fostered, great foster parents, but now they are denied the right to foster any more children. Why? Because they refuse to recant, to renounce their beliefs in Scripture. So again, every time we open a newspaper, turn on the news, you're going to get stories like this happening every single day around the world. Next. An actress, UK, was hounded out of her acting career, again, simply for her own private, personal Facebook posts on, you know, affirming biblical truth. So she's looking for new work simply because she's standing true to God. Next, here's a doctor. I think this one is in the UK as well. Yep. His biblical beliefs were ruled to be incompatible with human dignity. Did you know that? If you believe the Bible, you no longer believe in human dignity. I would have thought it was just the other way around, actually. So, again, we could do this all day. I could be here till next Sunday. We could do case after case. Next. Boy Scouts in America. Interesting. Filing for bankruptcy. Why is that? Well, a lot of sex abuse cases. What happens when you start admitting not just homosexuals as scouts, but homosexual scout masters? Anybody see a problem with that? Anybody think that could go bad? That could go sour? So here they are filing for bankruptcy because they've had so many sexual abuse cases in what you would think would be a safe place, right? Boy Scouts. But of course, they have to be inclusive. You can't discriminate. So if you want to be a homosexual scout master, welcome. We'll take you right in. And then we're surprised that some boys are being abused, right? Scary stuff. Next. It is. Madison, Wisconsin. I went to school, at least for a while, in Madison. This guy, by the way, putting on a dress and growing your hair does not turn a guy into a girl. He's still a guy. But he says he's fighting for the right to use girls' bathrooms in primary school. He's a school teacher. He's pretending he's a girl, and he wants to use the girls' bathrooms. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got three boys, but if I had daughters, I would not want this guy coming into my girls' bathrooms, right? Anybody here keen on that? No, I don't see any hands. Oh, you're all a bunch of bigots, obviously. Sexist, racist probably as well. Haters, you're haters. What's wrong? He just wants to share a bathroom with your daughters and granddaughters. How can you be so intolerant and bigoted? So that's Madison. That's my Wisconsin, my state. Next. Germany, Christian pastor. Oops, okay. Canada first, Alberta. Anthropology professor. She lost her job. What did she do? She simply said, well, there's sex, you know, male, female, and that's about it. For simply affirming biology, she's looking for a new job. Next, German pastor fined in a show trial for hatred against homosexuals, right? He simply said their pride march in Berlin was really an assault on Genesis and God's created order. To affirm the Bible today means you are guilty of hate speech. You can lose your job, you can be fined, happening all over the West. Next. Amazon. Some of you might get books from Amazon now and then. Ryan Anderson wrote a great book some years ago on the trans issue. If you don't have time to read books, if you can find a good book review, that'll do. I've got a review of this book on my website, so you can at least read that. But Amazon has pulled this book. Why? Because it simply questions the trans agenda. Now, by the way, it wasn't that long ago there was a place started with G, ended with Ermini, Germany, 1930s, 40s. Remember what they used to do? Ever hear of book burnings, stuff like that? How is what we're doing today with groups like Amazon any different to what the Nazis did back then? Next. In fact, I think I have a slide on this. Yep, we've seen this happen before, right? Big mass burnings of books. Anything that the Nazis didn't like, burn the books. You cannot read them. They're subversive literature. So we're living, we've been told, if you don't learn the lessons of history, you'll repeat its mistakes. And it's exactly what we're doing. We've forgotten all about the Holocaust, and now we're very quickly moving back in the same direction. Next. So, these books were a violation of community standards. If you know anything about Facebook, you're always going to get slugged with, they'll say, your post has violated community standards. Well, that's, again, what happened in the 30s and 40s in Germany. So we're seeing history repeating itself, certainly in the social media. Next. Here's a Catholic dad being investigated. He simply wanted a Catholic school not to have to fly the gay flag, and now the police are investigating him. Imagine that, a Catholic concerned about a Catholic school not being forced to have the gay flag. Scary stuff, folks. Next. Here's another Canadian facing arrest. Why? He doesn't want his own child, his daughter, to transition to be a boy, right? She's been really brainwashed into thinking she's a boy. The dad does not want this to go ahead. As you can see, rapists can get 2 years in prison. But this guy is looking to get 5 years in prison simply for wanting to protect his own daughter. Now, that's scary stuff, right? Next. Another Canadian activist suing a Canadian pastor simply to preach on biblical truth. You can get sued in Canada. So, you've probably done stuff on Romans 1 and other things over the, you know. Imagine getting a knock on the door. We're here to tell you you're under arrest. We're closing down your church. You know that's hateful. You can't quote Romans 1. That's hateful. So that's Canada. Next, Jack Phillips. He's a Christian cake maker. He's already been sued a number of times by homosexual activists for refusing to make cakes for homosexual weddings. Now he's got transgender people after him. He just can't win. He's been struggling for so long. So pray for Jack and people like him. The funny thing is, right, when groups like Amazon and Facebook and Twitter, when they ban Christians and conservatives, we're told, oh yeah, they're a private business. They can do what they want. Well, guess what? A cake maker is a private business. Shouldn't he be allowed to do what he wants? Well, no, you have to bake that cake or you're going to jail, right? It's the double standards here of the left. Amazon can pull books, Facebook can pull entire posts and people. But if you're a Christian businessman, a florist, a baker, you rent halls out for events, then you have to submit. Next, New York, a Christian wedding photographer, challenging New York state laws. Again, same thing, being forced to cover a homosexual wedding. So it's happening all the time. Next. Arrested for quoting the Bible. Here's a English fellow, 71-year-old, outdoors preaching, mentioned homosexuality. Here he is being arrested simply for sharing truth in the public arena. Next, it's April 29. We're almost done. May 9th. Wow, that's getting recent. The UK again. Here is a chaplain at a private school. He simply gave a sermon defending the right of students to question the trans agenda. The school itself turned on this professor, reported him to the anti-terrorism unit, right? Did you know if you simply say students, you can ask questions about the trans agenda, that makes you a terrorist today, and you can be reported. So he's actually lost his job. So that was what, just this week, May 9th. Next. All right, well, you're saying, boy, I'm glad I'm in Australia. It sounds like it's nuts out there. What's wrong with the West? What's wrong with Canada, America, England, Europe? Well, I hate to say it, folks. Things are just as bad here. We have to quickly go through these, but we have just as many examples in Australia. Next. If you can see, well, there's two people there you should know. The one center left happens to be the greatest tennis player ever. Anybody know the greatest female tennis player? There you go, Margaret Court. So there's her picture. Now, who's the guy next to her? Oh, it's me. Oh, look, that's me. It's Bill. Bill and Margaret. What's all that about? Well, I've spoken at Margaret's church. After tennis, she became a pastor in Perth. Asked me to speak often on marriage and family, stuff like that. So here, back in 2012, she put out a flyer saying, help preserve marriage, which I was, I guess, the main speaker along with her. So you can see on the left, all over the campuses in Perth, right, these flyers went up. Stop the bigotry. Stop the hatred. Come to Margaret's church and shut it down. And that's exactly what they tried to do. On the right, there's some screaming protesters being dealt with by security guards. We not only had security guards, we had the police there, and the riot squad was on standby. Now, by the way, this is now the norm for me. I'm quite surprised being here, actually. Usually when I'm invited to speak, no, it's true, I got to run the gauntlet. There's so many protesters outside. Police have to escort me into the venue I'm speaking at. But here, I don't see any protesters. I'm wondering, Dale, what's, you got to lift your game. I mean, come on, something here. Where's all the flack? Where's the opposition? Come on. So, this was, what, 2012? So this happens mostly when I get invited to speak. The protesters are there. You got to fight your way through to get in. Next. A little bit more recent, Corey Bernardi, of course, stood up for marriage and family. His office was trashed, 2016. Next, we got to fly through these. 2017, Baptist Church in East Melbourne has been forced to hire security because, again, attacks by the activists. Next. This was a Christian group, Cooper's Brewery, that actually had a deal with the Bible Society. But because they dared to stand up for marriage, there was a huge backlash there, and they had to distance themselves from the Bible. Next. IBM, used to be an IBM chief here in Australia. He was forced to step down simply because he affirmed the biblical view of marriage. Next. Safety fears for some Christian charities, again, because they will not push the radical agendas. Next. Adelaide Council being investigated. The church is there for biblical statements about marriage and family. Next. Margaret Court, again, sacked from her own position at a WA tennis club. Why? For daring to affirm biblical marriage. So Margaret's been under attack quite a bit. Next, Evangelical Church in Brisbane threatened with being set on fire simply for having a pro-marriage billboard. Next, it's okay to be, not okay to be homophobic. A Christian gal who worked at this business in Canberra, she got the sack. She's looking for new work simply for saying, I support the no campaign on the marriage debate. So she's out of a job. Next. This was during the campaign. ACL and others had a lot of rallies. I think I was at that one. A bunch of lesbians got up, started kissing, unfurling their banners. Burn churches, not queers. And by the way, a lot of those guys are serious. They'd be quite happy to see your church burned down. Because, again, we're full of hatred, obviously. We affirm biblical marriage, so that means we must be bigots and haters. So that happens all the time. Next. Ballarat in Victoria. I know this gal was a counselor for a long time. She lost her position. Why? Well, she dared to, again, affirm biblical truth. Next. Here's a wedding magazine, I think, I'm not sure if it was Perth, somewhere. Long-standing, successful marriage magazine. But because they only featured heterosexual couples, the homosexual activists hounded them, so they were forced to quit their own magazine. They're looking for a new day job as well. Next. This is a gal in Melbourne. I know her, Marika, called Political Posting Mama. She's done a lot on the Safe Schools program, warning parents. In fact, that's all she was. She was a housewife, had kids going to school, learned about this diabolical so-called Safe Schools program, which is all over the country. She set up a website, started warning about Safe Schools agenda and how they're targeting your children and grandchildren. She was sued by one homosexual activist, had to pay a $100,000 fine simply for having her website. Anybody here got a spare $100,000? She could use it. I know her. Just imagine a housewife concerned about your own children now paying off a $100,000 fine. This is Melbourne. We're not talking England now. We're not talking Canada. We're not talking Paris. This is Melbourne. And by the way, it's just as bad in Sydney and coming soon to a town near you. No, really, Tamworth will not be immune from this for long. You may think we're safe and secure now, but it won't last, I guarantee it. Next. Here is a couple who, again, same thing, trying to foster others. from Perth, but because they dare to affirm biblical truth, they can no longer foster children. Next. Here's a great senator in Tassie who's trying to defend women's sport. Did you know that women's sport is being destroyed all around the West? Guys coming in, pretending they're women, of course, winning every event, hands down, right? You know, when you're bigger, stronger, more body mass, muscle, guess what? It's an unfair advantage to real females. So this really is the death of female sport. So if you've got daughters, granddaughters who like sport, that will not be lasting much longer. As long as we allow the trans activists to push men into women's sport. So at least she's trying to do something about it. So we have still some good politicians left in Australia. Next. Almost done. Here's another gal I know. Kira Lee Smith on the right. She actually asked our government minister for women, are you actually able to define what a woman is? And our own Liberal Party minister for women could not do it, right? I mean, I don't think it's hard to do, right? The differences between men and women are pretty clear. Every cell in your body tells you if you're male or female. But sadly, our own health or women's minister, Maurice Payne, refused to answer. In fact, she went on to say, well, you know, there's a real mix here, and you can't be too dogmatic. So when you got your own politicians who can't even tell you the difference between a man and a woman, that's bad news. Next. So a few well-known cases. We'll just whip through these very quick. Next. You all know about Israel Folau, right? Same story, one of our greatest athletes. Lost his job. What did he do? Did he rape somebody? Did he commit armed robbery? Nope. Simply affirmed biblical marriage, right? Simply quoted the Bible in sermons. And now he's not playing his beloved sport. Next. Bernard Gaynor is a Catholic fellow, pro-family in Brisbane. He's been hounded by the activists for years. He's had to sell his home. He lost almost everything fighting court case after court case against the militants. He's got his own website, also worth getting in touch with. Next. You would know Lyle Shelton was ACL. Now, as you would have heard, Fred Nile, after 40 years, praise God for Fred, 40 years, CDP, he's stepping down, but Lyle is now taking over Fred's place. I'm sure you've heard of that. Anyways, he was sued, right, in Brisbane, two drag queen activists, right, reading stories to our children. Lyle said, this is really not appropriate for kids to have stuff like this, so they're suing Lyle. For daring to be concerned about children. Next. Jareth Cock, you say, who's he? Well, I know all about him. You may not. I know all about him. He was my family doctor for many years. Young Asian guy, Christian, great fellow, married, two children. So what's the problem? Well, the medical board a year and a half ago kicked Jareth Cock off the register. He cannot practice medicine. Now you spend, what, 8-10 years training to be a doctor? And now they gave him the boot. What did he do? Was he found guilty of raping a patient? Was he found guilty of stealing money from the clinic? Nope. Something much, much worse. He posted on my website and on his own personal Facebook page horrific things like this. Children need a mother and a father. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There are only two sexes. Can you imagine saying something as hateful as that? So here he is, a doctor. Everybody loved him. Nobody had any complaints. A homosexual activist looked at my website, found some of his comments, checked out the Facebook page. A year and a half ago, he was kicked out. He's on Centrelink benefits, trying to feed his family, wondering what to do next. Did you ever think you would live in Australia where a doctor, godly, great professional doctor, can lose his job simply for saying children have a right to a mother and a father? Did you ever think that would happen? It's happening right now. And that's my doctor. He was my doctor. And I can give you a dozen more cases of doctors who've lost their job because they're Christians who dare to defend biblical truth. You cannot share truth anymore. You have to be silenced. You have to be censored. If you want to keep your job, if you don't want to be fined, you don't want to be put in jail, you cannot share truth. My friends, that should not be the case, right? Can I hear an amen? This should not be the way it is. I know this is a Presbyterian church. You don't say amen with Presbys, but I just heard about 8 or 10. We got people rightly concerned about what's going on. Okay, almost done. Next, Margaret Court again. Dan Andrews, I mentioned, in Victoria, the premier. She got the Australia Day Award just back in January. And Dan Andrews wanted nothing to do with it. He was denouncing Margaret Court, right? Greatest tennis player in the world. Dan Andrews said she should not get this honor. So this is the country we now live in. Next. Therapy bill I mentioned already, right? We passed recently in Victoria. 10 years jail, $10,000 fine for daring to help somebody who is not happy with their same-sex attraction. Did you ever think we would live in a country where you can go to prison for 10 years when somebody asks for your prayer? This is Australia today, folks. Next. So the incredible thing is, some of us have been warning about this for years. In fact, some non-Christians. There's a lot of people who aren't even Christians who've been warning about this. And yet so many Christians seem to be asleep at the wheel. Next. Somebody like Andrew Bolt. Some of you know of Andrew Bolt, right? Sky News, writes for the Herald Sun. He's not a Christian at all. But he has often been warning about this stuff. By the way, every day I pray for Andrew Bolt that he becomes a Christian. Right? Wouldn't it be great if he became a Christian? He's very good right now. He's often doing more for the gospel than most Christians are. So pray for people like this. Next. Melanie Phillips, as I say, you had her in the bulletin today. Jewish commentator. She's done a lot of great stuff from England. Next. And she said in one of her books, Christianity is under direct, unremitting cultural assault from those who want to destroy the bedrock values of Western civilization. She's Jewish, but she's saying Christianity is under attack. Right? If she can get it, when will more Christians get it? Next. So, how do we respond? We really do have to finish up because I've been going too long. Next. Or Schaefer asked, how should we then live? Next. Well, Jesus said, blessed are you if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Next. I liked Leonard Ravenhill and what he said. We need to take this to heart. I believe the choice is this. Either we concentrate on prayer now, or we're going to pray in concentration camps. You hear what he's saying? This is the way it's going, real fast. If you're not praying and fighting now for religious freedom, for the right of Christians to share truth, pretty soon the only freedom we're going to have is in prison, praying there. They can't stop you from praying. They can stop you from outwardly praying, but you can always pray inwardly, I guess. Next. Edmund Burke, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Now, as far as I can tell, I've got about 30 good people in this room. So again, let's make it personal. Guess how evil is going to triumph? Easy. Simply say nothing. Say nothing, do nothing, and piece of cake. Evil will triumph. But if I convince you guys to start speaking up in whatever way you can, maybe join Facebook, right? You could become my friend if you dare. Share stuff. Share truth. We have to share truth. Next. We're fighting to prevent this. There is a homosexual war against the church, against the faith. Somebody's got to stand up and be counted. Is it going to be you, or will you just quietly sit there and allow it to happen? Next. Like Bonhoeffer, he died by the Nazis for daring to oppose Hitler, Lutheran pastor. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold you and I guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. Right? That's a good one. By the way, all this stuff you'll find both on my website and on Facebook, places like that. So if you want to get more, have a look. Next. I like this quote told to the evangelist Moody. The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in the man whose heart is fully and wholly consecrated to him. So if you guys want to get serious about God in your faith, hey, we can turn the world upside down. It's what it said of the early church, right? Next. Almost done. I love the Booth Salvation Army founders. God loves with a great love the man whose heart is bursting with a passion for the impossible. Does it look like it's impossible right now to turn things around? Well, it does, yeah. From a human point of view, it sure does. It looks like we're toast. It's all over. But God is in the business of turning things around, especially if we let God work. Next. Life has no remote. Get up and change it yourself, right? If you don't like what you see going on, you need to get involved in whatever way you can. Pray more, work more, share truth more on Facebook, whatever. Next. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. That's Nehemiah, but I think it's relevant for us. Do you care about your kids? Do you care about your grandchildren? If you do, you need to stand up and start fighting. Next. If you like Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, this is a good one. I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you care about your family, if you care about your church, that's why we do what we do. It's not like we love being aggressive and fighting and culture wars, but we care deeply about those that we love. Next. So, got to get involved. Do we need the heart of God? Got to fight on all levels. Have to take a stand for religious freedom while we still have it. Next. May 9th, which was, 8, 9 days ago, whatever, was the 100th anniversary of one great German woman, Sophie Scholl, born exactly 100 years ago this May. She led a movement called the White Rose Movement in Germany while the Nazis were there. Next. They printed pamphlets trying to warn the German people, hey, Hitler is bad news, we can't support him. As Christians, we must resist. Only got 6 pamphlets off. Then they were arrested, tried, interrogated, and they were decapitated, put in a guillotine by the Nazis. Sophie Scholl was 21 years old. Her brother Hans was 24. This is what they said just at their trial. They said it was their Christian conscience that compelled them to take a stand. So imagine that, 21 years of age, and she was killed. Next, a few quotes from Sophie. Stand up for what you believe in, even if you're standing alone, right? And this is a good one. I will cling to the rope God has thrown me in Jesus Christ, even when my numb hands can no longer feel it. Is that a life of commitment and dedication? How many teenagers do you know who are willing to die for the sake of Christ and the kingdom? So 100 years ago, praise God for the Sophie and Hans Scholl family. Next. So we're in the battle. We don't have the luxury of sitting on the fence. We have to pray more than ever, work more than ever. If you're not part of the solution, you're actually part of the problem. And Jesus, who you should know, said 2,000 years ago, "You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world." And that's not an optional extra. That's part of the Christian job description. Every single one of you who names the name of Christ are called to be salt and light. Next. Leonard Ravenhill, the great revivalist. Are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? I think that really is my last concluding word, but it's a good question. Is what you are now living for worth what Christ died for? Next. And praise God. And that's it. That's my website. So I've gone way too long, but hopefully by now you're convinced. There might be a bit of a war going on. We are all in the crosshairs, and with God's grace, it's all really up to us how things proceed. Will it get worse? Will we all be in prison soon? Well, in good degree, it's up to each one of you.